way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the film, potentially television, and book universe of Harry Potter. So grab your wands and your favorite time turners, and let's delve into the night to chase. I'm so thrown off because I like altered it. You know, that flighty temptress thing. We're here for it. I'm so thrown off. I thought I could do it.
Again, ladies and gents, if this is not proof that we don't read that intro every time, then I don't know what else we can do to give you proof that we do, in fact, read it every time. Oh, my goodness. I will speak for Mary. That's Mary Lawson, my beautiful bride, the host of the Potterverse. My name is Blake. And Mary, holy smokes, man, we just got a whopper. A whopper of a news dump on us as Potter dorks and as people who love the Wizarding World. Mary, Warner Brothers, the parent company who is in charge of the distribution for Harry Potter. Warner Brothers is nearing a deal for Harry Potter, the television series, on HBO Max. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And we decided to have somewhat of an emergency podcast about it. There's not a whole ton of information that is out yet about it. And there is still room for it to not happen. But Mary, these things don't usually come out unless they're happening. And I guess the big question, Marvin, is, are you happy? Is this a thing that you want? Does the world need Harry Potter, the television series?
You know, it's so funny because, you know, you said if news like this comes out, that it most likely is going to come out. We have to remember that this is HBO.
Yes.
And HBO's got money, honey. They got some money, honey. And they created like a pilot episode for a Game of Thrones spinoff that they completely didn't even use.
That's actually the second time that's happened.
Yeah. So it is not, to me,
just for Game of Thrones.
Yes. So I'm saying this because they can say this. They can put money and funding and cast and create something and even create a pilot episode, and it still may not happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like for other networks, when they say something, they do it because they already put the money behind it and they don't want it to be a waste. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about this news, but I'm definitely tentative. I am not necessarily saying it is 100% happening because I'm looking at HBO's track record when they have the rights to a behemoth thing like Game of Thrones, like Harry Potter, that if it is not 100% right and worth it for them, they will make the executive decision to can it, or at least, you know, pause it, yeah, until they do have something worthy, like how they had for House of the Dragon. That obviously like was fantastic. There were a lot of people who weren't happy with how the Game of Thrones ended, but were happy with how House of the Dragon is. So I'm here to say it's as much forward momentum as we've seen yet in regards to something like this. We have talked many a time about a TV series instead of a movie series. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested that this conversation is happening. And I personally
am excited about this. Let's just say in a vacuum that it's happening. Okay. It, obviously, we don't know yet, but let's just say that it is.
Yeah.
Are you happy about it? And does the world need more Harry Potter?
Okay. So here's the cool thing. We're on a Potterverse podcast, right?
Yes.
So no matter what our opinions are on the author, because that's one of the big sticking points the controversy that the author is in right now with her beliefs and her being so vocal. And
and she's going to be a producer because, you know, the Wizarding
Executive
World.
Executive producer, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a
it's
thing.
It's hers, yeah. So, but why I'm saying that is because a lot of the conversation that is in a negative light, understandably, comes from people who have pretty much like written off the Harry Potter fandom because of the author's remarks.
Sure.
Right? So there are a lot of people who were fans, books, TV, books, film, you name it, who now are not because of her beliefs and how vocal she has been. Those people don't listen to this podcast. Okay? The ones who are that vehemently like have broken up with Potter. Right? So then we have other people who are still fans of the fandom, mm-hmm, still fans of the books and the movies, and have, but like us, are not okay with the author's stance right? So there's people like that. There's other people, hardcore Harry Potter fans. The author says what the author says, but it doesn't really change anything for them mm-hmm. about it.
And then there are some people who are fans and agree.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
okay. Like it, all those choices are fit for everybody. Like I'm not here to argue one way or the other.
That's not what our podcast is here for.
We believe that you can divorce the IP from the person and still appreciate the story.
And that's what I'm saying is that I think where there's like four categories of people, the sure. people who have broken up with the story, and then there's people who feel the way that we feel, and then there's people, you know what I mean? And what I'm saying is the people who've broken up with Potter don't listen to this podcast.
Correct.
So I'm not adding that aspect into the conversation. I'm just saying that a lot of the noise that you're going to hear about the backlash of please don't make this, no, we don't want it, is from that elk, from people who used to be Potter fans, but now are vehemently against it because of the author.
Sure.
So I do think that needs to be taken into consideration because obviously, you know, if they make this in a few years, you're going to be thinking about, okay, well, what's the age demographic of people who will be paying for the HBO Max streaming service? And how many of those people didn't grow up with Potter necessarily mm-hmm. as big, you know, and are more apt to be siding on, we don't want to support the author. So that's important. But on the flip side, there's loads of people. Like, I think the voices of the people who are outraged are loud right now, but I personally think that there is still a big enough hold of Harry Potter on society as a whole that this would be worth it. Well, I think yeah, that there's, that. I mean, look at us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're podcasting about it. There's still people reading the books, watching the movies, going to Universal, Wizarding World. I personally believe, yes, this TV series could be good for lots, like that there would be people who would be interested in at least checking it out.
Yes.
So for anyone who's saying the momentum of Potter has slowed and there's no reason to do it, I would say no. But
And I understand that I understand the point of view of somebody that looks at that and says, I don't want to support the author. Thereby I will not watch the movies, read the books, consume a television show. I don't agree with it, but I can appreciate
yes.
it. So
that's what I'm saying. That's what a lot of the pushback is. Yeah. When people are saying, should we or shouldn't we? A lot of the pushback comes from that camp. Yeah. So I'm saying we've acknowledged that camp. Now let's get into, you know, other reasons. Yeah. So you are a Harry Potter fan and you would be interested in getting the yeah. new illustrated books, whatever. You're still like consuming yeah. new Potter content. Then it comes down to, you know, an argument is not enough time has passed.
Yeah, you know, let's go from there, Mary. Like, let's look at this in a vacuum and just say, okay, there are those people that just no matter what don't want it. Fine. Okay, agreed. Thank you. We get it. We're moving on. Now let's look at it like, okay, this is going to happen. Is there a thirst for it? Should there be one? And do you want it? Do you think there is enough thirst for a new Harry Potter show? Let's put it that way.
If exquisitely done. Mm-hmm. Which I would trust HBO to exquisitely do it. And if it wasn't exquisite, yes. they wouldn't put it out.
Agreed.
So from what HBO has been showing me with House of the Dragon, I would trust HBO to put out an exquisite product.
Yes.
And not do it if they did wrong. So I would watch a show. I am excited about this. However, the cast, the OG cast, Dan Radcliffe, you know, Emma Watson, Rupert Grint, are still so young, relatively in regards to Hollywood, yeah. and let's be real, like they're younger than us, that we're still seeing them out in like roles. They're not even necessarily old enough to be the parents in the epilogue yeah. scene that they portrayed, or you know, if they were to make a Cursed Child movie. So there's a little awkwardness, but then I look at like how many Spider-Man reboots they've made in such short amounts of time,
right.
and it's like a different take. So that would be my perspective is that, okay, if you're going to reboot it, what elements would still be the same? What would be different? And how would it be a different take so that the whole time you aren't just comparing it, that you are more enjoying it yeah. as a new version of the story? So with Spider-Man, they would do different versions, right? They mm-hmm. had different aspects to it, especially with the most recent iteration of Spider-Man. It's in the Marvel universe, mm-hmm. you know? So that's been completely different. Now, they want to do the TV series so that each season is a complete book. And within that, they can tell more stories. And that in and of itself is going to be dramatically different.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Mary, I think, like, okay, so why does this need to exist? That's the question, right? Like, we also just got notice that Moana, right, is being remade into a live action film. And The Rock is going to star in it and the whole thing. And like, conceptually, I think that's a cool idea. Like, I would love to see The Rock running around, dancing around, singing, doing the whole thing. Like, I think that's cool. But why does it need to exist? Right? Isn't Moana itself a great film unto itself? Why do we, other than just the, like, the money behind it, should the thing, it reminds me of Jurassic Park. Your scientists were so busy whether or not they could, they never stopped to think that if they should, right? The same thing goes here. Yes, can you do this? But should you do it? And what can you do to make it stand on its own so that it doesn't necessarily fall prey to the, well, the books did this, but the movies did that. And you're putting yourself into a position where you're tied to the books, but you're also tied to the films, and you're going to be compared to both. And inevitably, it's still an adaptation of the books. So what changes are you going to make from the books? And are you going to do that through the DNA of the film? Like, are you obligated to make it look like Hogwarts that the film presents? Or do you take the Great Hall and make it your own thing? Does it have to look like the Hogwarts that's in Universal Studios? Because, hello, we all got a business to run here. We can't be having 16 different Hogwarts. Like, it needs to look like that.
Well, it's still owned by the same partnership people, right?
Right,
so
yes.
That, what was the thing that we were talking about? Oh, Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings and Rings of Power.
Oh,
so there's like
specific
rules with the Amazon Prime show Rings of Power that they can't do. Like, they can't have the same melodic theme. So Bear McCreary had to create an entirely different musical world for the score.
Correct.
You know, they couldn't have the same actors. They can't have necessarily the same exact physical places. So
they only had rights to certain actors in certain stories, rather. And certain characters.
So I would personally not like to see same actors, because if I'm going to like start on a blank slate,
I
would appreciate the blank slate. But if they are legally allowed to use physically the same version, I mean, let's be real, there's multiple versions of Hogwarts. It changes almost movie to movie.
Yeah.
So that when you do go to the Wizarding World, or when you look at your, like, I have a daily calendar that my friend Mo gave me that is Hogwarts, and I get to change the little dates on it, that stuff can still essentially be the same to you.
Sure.
You know, maybe people have artwork around their house of Hogwarts, or even a tattoo of Hogwarts. Like, if those things could still be the same, I'm down for it. If you can legally, then I would keep a lot of aspects. Does it need to be every single brick and with the placements of the flags and things like that? No, but I would like it to be relatively cohesive visually in aspects like Diagon Alley.
Sure.
You know, would I want it to be wildly different? No, because I go to Universal Studios and I walk down Diagon Alley. So if they're allowed to do some aspects to keep it relatively the same, awesome. But what can they flesh out more? So I like to think about, okay, chapter by chapter, can we flesh out more inside the Dursley's house? Can we flesh out more different classrooms, the herbology area? You know, I think we have like the scene where they're playing with the mandrakes, but what more could we be doing in these different classrooms, in the halls? Do we now get to play with the ghosts more and see all the instances
Absolutely.
That Peeves does? Can we spend more time in Quidditch and on Quidditch practice and the pitch? So for me, I talk so often about how I love the magic, how I love Goblet of Fire because we understand the Wizarding World. And to me, a television show would allow us to get more in depth with that and to appreciate and feel even more entrenched in these places, which I am here for. Now, I will say, being that it's HBO Max, then they have to make the decision. Is this a children-worthy series? And if so, what's the age point that we're cutting it off? Is it like 8+, 10+? Like, what are we aiming towards? Because here we are talking about Order of the Phoenix. You know, even the movies, like, come here, it's a different story. So are they going to start it just like the movies, where like little kids can easily watch movies 1 and 2? Still, like, in Chamber of Secrets, it's like, all the muggles are going to die, you know?
Yes.
Or are they going to take something where they say, no, this is going to lean into the dark, lean into the fact that this is scary, that this little child is being threatened by Voldemort his entire life. Are they going to lean into knowing that everybody knows the storyline? Will we see different aspects of Dumbledore behind the scenes and what he's working through and talking about? Like, because the author's there as an executive producer, can we actually flesh out a little bit more because they know that the audience already knows what happens?
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to say, Mary. If I am an HBO executive, or if I'm a Warner Brothers Discovery executive, and I'm looking at this, I say the films are there. If you want your little kids to go watch Chamber of Secrets, and you know, it's not to say that we're not gonna have the wee Hogwarts aspect of the first two seasons, right? But if you want your kids to go watch and yay wee Hogwarts, go watch the films. They're there. Please do so. However, the show that we're making is going to include those elements, but it's going to be geared more towards an adult audience. And I say that because the people, by the time this thing gets made, are going to be the premium demo that they need.
They're going to be the kids that grew up with Harry Potter being, they're going to be the kids that in 1997 turned 11.
Yes.
That yes. honestly grew up with Harry Potter, same age, doing the things.
Yes, 100%. And that's who they're getting at. And there's
can afford an HBO Max monthly subscription.
Right. That's what we're doing. And they're going to make it so that those kids in that time frame want to see more Harry. And they want to get more, and they know that these kids read the books. They know that there's, you know, we just got done with Goblet, right? There's more of a relationship with Cedric and Harry than was led to in the film.
But on the flip side, is there a need for shows that you can watch as a family that you two want? You know, like, part of me wonders, okay, yeah, could you make it a little bit more for, so it's more older teenager, young adult worthy?
Sure.
Slash, how exciting would it be if there was a weekly episode that we were like, this is family night? Like, how gone is that TGIF or like the Sunday night Disney movie? You know, when Game of Thrones was at its peak, I mean, that was the thing. You were like, it is Sunday night.
Yeah, but you weren't watching Game of Thrones with your kids anyway.
Exactly. But what if the Harry Potter episodes were Sunday nights, 7 p.m.?
Yeah, but fair enough.
And you would want to watch it, that they made it so it could go across all age demos.
But there's 0.0 chance of that happening because of money. Like, it's never going to be Sunday at 7. It will never happen. It'll be earliest.
Sunday at 8.
It'll be Sunday at 8 or 9. Earliest, okay, 8 earliest, 9
Friday
more
at 7.
No, Friday's dead zone. Friday's
not
dead
for
zone.
Families with. Look at us. What do we do?
I know, but you have to. You also have saying. To consider the world writ large, right?
But there's no more TGIF.
But we're not. But we're not the sole demo. Like, the fact of the matter is that Harry Potter is a massive IP, and it like, it's not a.
But everything drops. Everything drops Fridays.
Hold on. So, why is there music playing?
Oh. I think I accidentally touched that.
Apparently, I have music. You did touch it.
Sorry.
You're touching stuff.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, Netflix, when they have special streaming things, hey, even Amazon Prime dropped it on Fridays. Dropped Rings of Power on Fridays. You think Fridays is dead zone? I'm challenging.
Well,
you that
historically,
no.
Friday is dead zone.
Pre-pandemic and pre-streaming success. Okay, maybe. Now you know what? This is what we got. And if you can actually, because like, when does The Mandalorian drop? Doesn't that also drop on Fridays
no,
from
it's,
Disney?
Oh,
or?
I'm not sure when it drops.
Yeah,
I can find out.
I'm telling you that if you are a service that can be streamed, if they were to drop it on a Sunday or a Friday. They could even make it into a family-friendly thing. And there are families like us. Like, you might be like, oh, no, Mary, we're like losers that don't really get out much. No, there are tons of people like us that are tired.
It drops on Wednesdays.
On a Friday.
Looks like Wednesdays.
Oh, okay. That are tired on a Friday and want to make plans for Saturday instead, thank you very much, so I could take a nap. Or have kids and they really can't go out every single Friday night. So I challenge you that now that things have changed, I think over the past 5 years, because of streaming,
fair, but
that it can be an exciting night.
Let's look at the investment that is going to be made in order to make a Harry Potter series, right? And then let's also address the times that this kind of investment in a show, when it is dropped, right? This kind of show with this amount of money is in HBO's past is Sunday, because look at Westworld, massive, mm-hmm. right? Westworld, Sunday. Game of Thrones, massive, Sunday. Succession, massive, Sunday. House of the Dragon, massive, Sunday, all Sunday. So it's going to be Sunday earliest, at least according to the history, Sunday earliest, 8 o'clock.
No, but that's if they drop it like how they have. But if they wanted if to do it, to make it say it's like Starz, you know how Starz has the time that they air Outlander, but it drops on their app as of midnight.
Sure.
So I'm just saying.
So I think that there's room here for what you're saying. Like, is there a weekly appointment television where the whole world sits down and watches a thing together?
Yes.
I think there's room for that. And in fact, just coming from that world, I think I long for those days.
I agree.
I like that. I loved when Game of Thrones came out,
mm-hmm.
because you knew the whole world was sitting down watching Game of Thrones. I mean, for the most part, right? Even The Walking Dead in the early years, right? Everybody stopped to watch The Walking Dead on that was on Thursday nights. Like, that's what they did.
But I think back to our childhood. Honestly, it was TGIF. You know, you'd be excited to watch that. And then for us people who didn't really have cable, they had like The Wonderful World of Disney, where yeah. they would get to see a Disney movie on like Sunday nights at 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal. And I really do. So I think that, yes, now we are out and about in the world, but I don't think that they could go wrong having a special, this is a weekly thing, because people are going to watch it. But I don't think HBO would come out and just drop the entire season.
No.
That's just not their style. So instead, okay, let's lean in and see if we can make this an event. And if they do choose to make it across the board family friendly, I do think that it could be a really neat thing. Because like you said, we've had that for Game of Thrones. We've had that for Walking Dead. But what if there was something that the whole family would even want to tune in to watch?
And Walking Dead obviously was on AMC.
And then think about the kids talking about that. And that's why I think Friday night could be a key thing. Because I remember Friday mornings, we would have gotten the TV guide on Thursday night.
The TV guide.
And we would talk about, oh, what's going to happen on Full House? Oh, it said DJ is going to get into a problem again. Oh, man. It was always Stephanie, let's be real, on Full House. You know, Stephanie's going to get into a problem. But like that would be really cool. Or Sunday once again. But I think if they wanted it to be an all ages thing, it would drop on a Friday. So the parents would let the kids stay up and watch it.
Yeah. So Mary, I agree with you. There's room there for that. If I'm an executive, I'm tailoring it towards, to be honest, I'm tailoring it towards us and the people that are like 30 and up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even 25 and up, but 30 definitely. Just because those are the kids that grew up with Harry Potter. And those are the kids that are going to make the world tick in a few years. Because even let's just say for the sake of argument, right, that this thing got greenlit today and they had a deal done today and it was all done today and they're going to start filming today. This show isn't coming out for at least 2 years.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, a lot of things have to happen in order for a show to coalesce. They don't even have showrunners yet. They don't have writers. They don't have directors. They don't have sets. They don't have nothing except for, hey, this is an idea and this is what we're trying to conclude. So at earliest, this show is 3 to 4 years down the road. Because, you know, these things.
Earliest would be 2 years.
Yeah, like that's if really all of this stuff is already done.
Yeah.
Right. If they fast track it, you got maybe 2 years. But in all likelihood, you're looking at 4 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
As a completed first season, we're dropping the first episode 4 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the earliest. And Mary, I think there's a lot of politics that goes into this decision as well. And you brought up Rings of Power, and I love that conversation piece because it's no coincidence, Mary, that House of the Dragon and Rings of Power dropped at the same time. It's also no coincidence that House of the Dragon and Rings of Power were the most watched television shows of all 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not a coincidence. And it's also not a coincidence that HBO needs another thing to help carry the weight. I mean, they lost Game of Thrones. Yes, they brought back House of the Dragon. Okay, great. That's a thing that helps carry the weight. But what else do you have that helps draw people in? Succession, which is by far the best television show on TV right now. It's the last season right now. This is the last season. They're losing that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do have access to the DC universe, which is now being run by James Gunn and Superman, the whole thing. And it's all going to be one nice, neat universe now, as opposed to what it's been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean it's going to succeed. Like, you need a thing.
So what are the FAQs? You pulled up an article
here.
Yeah,
so I think it's important that I read the article, because all of this was spurred on by an article that was in Bloomberg, right? And
why does Bloomberg get, like, what, for people who don't know all the different news outlet sources?
Yeah, like Bloomberg is like a business source. Like, it's like a, you know, if you're into the markets and you're into all that stuff, that's where you go. Bloomberg is a place where you go to get okay. the information, right? Now, I'm going to read you the article just so that we don't mess anything up, right? So, like, we don't get any of the details wrong. Whatever was reported in Bloomberg is going to be read on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What I want you to understand, though, as a listener, is that the business behind all of this is really important, because Warner Brothers just merged with Discovery, the television brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers merged with Discovery, and Warner Brothers owns HBO. Okay?
Yeah.
Because Warner Brothers merged with Discovery, they decided that they were going to cut costs and that they were going to cancel certain films.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to cancel certain shows. They were going to oust people from certain positions, and they were going to refine everything that they were presenting, because on the whole, as a company, the two companies were losing money together. So now they have to trim things in order to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
What you ended up seeing was, like, the Batgirl film that was announced, like, it was completely shot. It was ready to go. And they were just like, yeah, no, we're not showing this to the world. It's just canceled. And they got a tax rebate for it. Westworld, canceled as a show. Gone. See you later.
Glad I gave up on that one then.
It's unfortunate, too.
It is unfortunate.
That latest season was very good. You know, and there's a whole bunch of other films and shows that were canceled as a result, and they're just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were cutting back on costs. And that was a huge deal. Like, it was a massive deal that all these things happened.
Yep.
So, with that knowledge, let me read you this article, okay? Warner Brothers Discovery Inc. is close to a deal for a new online TV series, meaning HBO Max, based on Harry Potter, the best-selling young adult books, according to two people with knowledge of the matter. Each season of the series will be based on one of the author's seven books, said the people, who asked not to be identified, since the deal hasn't been announced, suggesting years of fresh fare from the popular stories. The company is hoping the series can become one of the cornerstones of a new streaming strategy that will be announced next week by HBO's parent company, Warner Brothers.
When was this put out? Because if they're saying next week, do they really mean our next week?
Updated on April 3rd. Okay. And today, as we record this, it is April 7th. That company's chief executive officer, Warner Brothers, David Zaslav, and HBO chief Casey Bloys have worked to convince the author to produce a new series, but the deal has yet to be fully coalesced.
Okay.
The series would allow the writers to delve further into the world of the author's books, many of which are longer than 500 pages. Warner Brothers previously turned each of the seven books into a hit movie, culminating in a two-part film based on the final installment. Warner Brothers has been eager to do more with one of the best-selling books of all time, While the author blessed a stage play adaptation and a theme park attraction, she has yet to sign off on new movies or a TV show. So what they're saying is true and untrue, right? So the author, yes, has not signed off on a Harry Potter film, but she herself has written and given her blessing to Harry Potter based films, meaning Fantastic Beasts.
Okay.
Right. And that also plays into this, but we'll get into it in a little bit. A spokesperson for Warner Brothers has declined to comment on this story. The author will be involved in the series to ensure it remains loyal to her original material, but will not run the show day to day or serve as its primary creator. God, the people said. The author has at times generated controversy with remarks about the trans community. Warner Brothers is preparing to announce a new streaming strategy, including the name Max, for its flagship online service, which will be debuted as HBO Max. Key to that strategy will be having new content, especially films and TV shows, based on stories and characters that viewers already know. Warner Brothers has a deep library of programs that fit the bill, including the author's Wizarding World, the Lord of the Rings material, and a league of superheroes that includes Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Zaslav has decided he wants to invest in fewer movies and TV shows and have the ones the company does make be of a higher caliber. And in February, he announced that the company would be making a new series of films based on The Lord of the Rings, although details still have to be worked out on that. The Harry Potter books tell the story of a young wizard whose parents were slain, blah, blah, blah.
We know.
Yeah, we know. Thanks.
We know, Bloomberg. We're on the Potterverse.
The series has also spawned a stage production, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, but it's the books themselves and the seven films that have the largest impact. According to the U.S. publisher Scholastic Corp., the book series has sold 600 million copies in 85 languages over 25 years, becoming the all-time bestseller. The eight films based on the films have made $7.7 billion. And that is the end of the article.
Not chump change.
So there's a lot of things to unpack here. And one of them is the fact that Casey Bloys and David Zaslav now have the privilege and the burden of running HBO and Warner Brothers, respectively, right? And there's a lot of things to consider here, right? The fact that the DCEU, as we knew it, with Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman and the whole thing, with, you know, Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot and Henry Cavill, has failed.
You know, I have such a hard time with Ben Affleck's name right now. All I hear is the duck. Affleck.
And
yep. So it's killed.
So that has ended. And they are now transitioning themselves to a new stewardship under James Gunn.
Okay.
And you're going to see that transition start with the new Flash movie that's coming out.
Okay.
Right? So they have to invest in that the way that it's being done. Then all the shows that they have created as a result in HBO, they've all kind of pitted out, not in terms of DCEU, but just like all the other things that they've created, except for a few good ones.
Mm-hmm.
They've all kind of just like, it's all just like Station 11, like great show, didn't catch on. Right.
Yeah.
Same thing. So now what they're saying is we're going to make fewer things, but the things that we do make are going to be super great. And we're going to make things that people know, which means they have to mine content that is already established, which is why you're seeing them make Lord of the Rings films,
mm-hmm.
right? Specifically, number one, to compete against Rings of Power with Amazon.
Oh my God.
Right? But what else do they have? They have Harry Potter.
You need to put the sound bit.
You're right. Where is... There it is.
I'm Harry freaking Potter! I mean,
they need to contact Darren Criss and his buddies and get the rights to Harry Potter musical. The Harry Potter musical.
So this is a really big deal for them. And I don't... The reason why I know that this is going to happen is because all of the money. The money is the main driver here. And they need to keep the rights. And they need to keep the HBO name, and they need to keep the exclusivity of HBO Max as I mean, I would maybe say the premier, what's it called? Like the premier streaming platform. I mean, would you say that it's overtaken Netflix as the premier streaming platform?
No.
No, you don't think so?
Based upon what I watch, no. Based upon what you watch,
good point.
Yes.
Yeah, good point. Fair enough. All right. So, I mean, that's the business of it all.
And that is where I'm thinking that if they want to really kind of lean a bit more into the younger demographic, I mean, they have Sesame Street.
Yes.
But if they kind of want that middle demo, Netflix has got a hold.
Got a hold on me and my family right
so
now.
So that's the business of it all. But like, let's just talk creatively and conceptually. Are you open to more Potter as a reboot?
Let's be real. Are we now open to a new Harry, Ron, and Hermione? Because that's what it comes down to. Can you believe a new little child is the boy who lived?
Oh, that's a great question, Mary. I would say yes. I could see it. I'd be willing to accept it.
What will you do? What do you think about it being not just a full British cast? Because that was like a sticking point for the author for the movies, which I assume she would do again. I feel like she would say like, no, this needs to happen again. I want, you know, money back in this country.
Yeah.
To these actors. So potentially.
I loved the model that they set up mm-hmm. for the film, which was these well-established British actors mm-hmm. among a bunch of unknowns.
Yes. But I'm saying, like, how would you feel if they intermingled and maybe had some American actors?
I wouldn't care. I would imagine that the author would care.
Yeah.
And I imagine that there would be a bunch of people who would be like, oh, no, it needs to be British.
And then also, what if it's a lot more mixed race?
I'd be fine with that. I don't really care. Like,
but I'm just saying, like, we're looking at Rings of Power, Bridgerton, you know.
Well,
House of the Dragon, and obviously, like, that has been a big change in these major behemoths.
Sure.
Has been having a lot more.
I would say that there hasn't, in those cases, right, there is no at least to my knowledge, and if you nerds know differently, then I apologize, but, like, there aren't these, like, okay, this person was white. Or this person was black.
I think if anything, it would be the Weasleys with their red hair and freckles frequently. Like, you'd be looking at them saying, okay, they've got, like, pretty much like these, like, Irish traits about them, you know, red hair.
Yeah. So
like, that would have a specific look.
So I guess what I'm saying is in the Harry Potter books, for the most part, it's pretty explicit as to the colors of skin and who they are.
Not necessarily.
But in the other properties that you'd named, like Rings of Power and House of, it's not explicit.
Okay.
Right? So that's why I say, like, either way, I don't care.
Yeah, for example, like, it's never explicit about Hermione's skin tone. So in the theater of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, frequently Hermione is depicted with a dark skin tone.
Fair.
And just, you know, because once again, like, it's all they really talk about are her teeth and her hair.
Yes.
So that will just be interesting, too, if they're going to be sticking with source material in regards to the way people are described physically, or will they just say, okay, the Weasley family will be the Weasley family, but maybe they'll be a different look, but they're going to be a consistent uniform look,
yes,
for example.
Yeah, and whatever they choose to they decide to choose, fine. Like, I'll go along to get along, because these are a bunch of smart people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I've also seen some other.
I would love, for example, to see more diversity in the staff, the Hogwarts staff.
Sure, agreed. And actually, you're kind of getting to what I'm about to get to, which is I've seen some conversations like about Snape, where it's like, well, in the books, he's in his, you know, mid 30s or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want another old Alan Rickman type playing Snape that should have been in his 30s.
I mean. They were in, oh, okay, yeah, all
right. Right, or whatever, yeah. 40s, yeah. Okay.
They were just saying Alan Rickman was too old.
Yeah, okay, is there room for that conversation? Sure, but do I care that, like, Alan Rickman is freaking Alan Rickman? Like,
rest in peace.
Rest in peace. I want him to be Snape, because he's amazing. I don't care that if he's 50 or 60, who cares?
I'm 50.
And the same thing goes for the show. If you give me someone who's going to play Snape, but he's in his late 40s or early 50s, but he's freaking awesome.
I mean, we know who you want, Blake.
Yeah, it's Tobias Menzies. where's my song? Here it is. I will die on that hill. It needs to be Tobias Menzies for the new Snape. Like, it needs
to
happen.
Contact our reps at HBO.
Yes, I will. I will absolutely send an email.
Say, we know you're already tight with him because of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and like, and what I'm saying is that is not an older, but an established British actor who has a previous relationship with HBO, has the gravitas to pull off Snape, has the look to pull off Snape, and can be both things.
Yes.
Can be both straight up evil and straight up great, like, and good. But bumbling and dorky, like, that is the perfect freaking actor for Snape. Although, if I was gonna argue who the next Snape should be, and it had to be age appropriate, it would be my choice would be the kid who played Prince Caspian, Ben Barnes.
Oh, interesting. A lot of people want Kylo Ren.
Adam Driver. Agreed. If I had the choice, 100% Adam Driver.
He's just not British.
But he's not British, number one, and he's too big of a star. He's not coming back to HBO. He does have a pre-established relationship with HBO because of girls. But he's too big now.
You don't think that he'd be like, sure, I'll get me some Harry Potter money?
Could.
I already got my Star Wars money. I'm going to be like the other Star Wars kid that does Harry Potter.
Donald Gleeson.
Yeah.
Yes. Could.
Doubtful. And not doubtful. British.
Doubtful, not British, but he's my choice. Like, that is the choice. That goes without saying. But I just think that, does he want to give up his life for the next...
for a decade, at least.
Yeah, for the next decade.
Yeah.
To play Snape. I don't know. And that's why I'm saying he's too big. And I think, what's his name? Tobias Menzies would do it.
Yeah, if that's where your home is too, if you're saying, because that's the other thing, if you're going to be an actor or work in this production, you're giving up a decade of your life. You're signing up for a 7-season package. Lord knows if any of those seasons are going to be split in two. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at Outlander, for example. It's a split season, so they've got 8 episodes running now and then 8 episodes running in the beginning of the fall. Like, when you get to the bigger books, will they say, okay, this is season 4, but it's got 16 episodes?
Yeah.
And we're splitting it up,
baby. Here's the coup. The coup is this. If you do this, and if you have the Harry Potter reboot, you need a Dumbledore. And the Dumbledore...
he better be the right one.
The Dumbledore...
he's going to make or break it.
abso-freaking-lutely has to be Jared Harris.
Who's he?
Richard Harris's son.
Yeah.
Jared Harris is the guy that played Moriarty in Game of Thrones.
He's too young.
No, he's not. He's in his late 50s
now. Does he have a baby face?
He was in Chernobyl. He's the guy who played the scientist in Chernobyl. He does not have him. Wait till you see him. Okay. Look up Jared Harris.
I definitely am looking at someone who does not look like him. How do you spell his name?
J-A-R-E-D.
Okay. Nope, you're right. Oh, yep. He could. Yep.
That's Dumbledore.
I don't know who I was thinking. I was thinking of the hot Moriarty from the Benedict.
Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch. No. That's Andrew.
I was picturing him.
Oh, what's his name? Andrew.
I was picturing
Andrew Scott. Yeah, no, not him. Not him.
No, this guy could do it, Jared Harris. Okay.
I actually think he would be a good Snape.
That would be
Snape
a beautiful
too.
Nod.
It really
to
would
his
be.
Dad.
Like you.
Oh.
And there's a pre-established relationship with HBO because he's been on a ton of HBO shows.
Okay.
So he.
I mean, I'm here for that.
You back up the Brinks truck to that guy's house and say, we will give you any amount of money to make that happen.
You can even wear your dad's outfit.
Yeah. Like. And you know the guy would want to do it.
Mm.
You know he would want to do it. Like, my hashtag my Dumbledore. Okay?
Yeah.
Especially after the Michael Gambon experiment. So.
You can start all these hashtags for getting your Snape and your Dumbledore that you want.
I know, right? So, but that's neither here nor there. Like, that's all stuff. I guess my another question for you, Mary, is, do you want a well-established showrunner, or do you want somebody that you don't know? Like, for example, the guys that run Rings of Power, they were just like a couple of jabronis that had done some stuff, but just really loved Lord of the Rings.
I don't know.
Or do you want somebody like, you know, for the lack of a better name at the top of my head right now. Someone like a Ron Moore.
Ooh, someone's saying Benedict Cumberbatch as Voldemort.
Oh, that'd be great. Too big of a star, though. Yeah. Agreed. Too big of a star.
I really don't care. I just want them to do a good job. I like trust HBO that no matter if they're an established person as the showrunners or some newbie, that they're not going to actively put it out there if it's not fantastic.
I think I want somebody that's strong enough to go to the author and be like, no, we're not doing, something that you want, right? Because the author had her way with the Fantastic Beasts series. And that's another thing too, by the way. HBO tried to stay in the game. I'm sorry, Warner Brothers, rather, tried to stay in the Harry Potter game through the Fantastic Beasts series. And they capitulated to the author.
Could you take Jude Law as Dumbledore and age him up a bit so that there's consistency with the Fantastic Beasts movies? Could you take Minerva McGonagall from the Fantastic Beasts and age her up?
That's a good question, Mary. If that's how you're going to connect the Fantastic Beasts series to your, like, you could make an argument that Fantastic Beasts, the films, were the prequel to the series. Mm-hmm. And if you took Jude Law, by the way, who has an established relationship with HBO because of the Pope series that he did, which was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
That would be one way where you could save the Fantastic Beasts series. That could be the way that you do it. And I think Jude Law now is at a point in his career where he's no longer like Jude Law that we knew and loved.
Probably because of the Fantastic Beasts.
Well, no, but like he's no longer the young, hot. It's not to say he's not hot and whatever, but like Jude Law isn't the star that, Adam Driver is or whatever. Like, would he spend the next 10 years of his life playing Dumbledore?
Well, especially if it's studios that are pretty easygoing down the street and they can go home for the weekend.
Right. Right. Mary, that is a very interesting take.
Thanks.
I had never considered that. And if that's one way that you're going to like connect your Fantastic Beasts to like the Wizarding World. Yeah. But then again, that means you're stuck to the visual language.
Not necessarily.
Of David Yates.
Not necessarily.
No, you don't think so?
No. Because he went to Hogwarts and Hogwarts was what we remember of Hogwarts.
Yeah, and then that's how it could keep all of the set design and every like that's how it could legitimize keeping the same language because it's connected to the Fantastic Beasts series on the whole. And Fantastic Beasts itself wouldn't necessarily be prequels to the Harry Potter films. It'd be the prequel to the series. That's how you make that turn. Oh, I like that.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome.
All right. Well, I think we've kind of mined this for what it is at this moment.
Nonetheless, we will watch it if it comes out.
And we will podcast
about it. And I'm not going to lie, timing-wise, I was like, oh, by the time we're done with Deathly Hallows, the book, we could potentially be then taking the podcast, Potterverse, right into a television show. So honestly, I have faith because it's HBO. If this was just any other place throwing it out there, I might be a little nervous. But with their track record of what they've done, at least for the Game of Thrones franchise, knowing the weight of it, I trust them not to put out a subpar product.
Agreed.
And I do think that this could be really exciting. I do think that the clapback, obviously because of the author's involvement and issues with her feelings and opinions and everything that goes along with that, is going to be a massive hurdle that I don't know if HBO and WB understands how massive that could be. But on the flip side, if they play their cards right and get some actors that people can get behind and kind of give a new breath to this, it might be an exciting adventure.
Yeah, I think there's too much money to be made for them to even care about the clapback. They're going to do it. It's going to happen. I mean, unless there's, you know, something that comes out of the blue that stops the deal for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But all things being equal, in a vacuum, the author agrees, HBO wants it, Warner Brothers is going to give the money for it.
Graham McTavish is Mad-Eye Moody.
Oh, man, that'd be great. Right? He'd be great.
He would be great.
Imagine him chucking chalk
yes,
at you.
Yes, yes.
Another guy that was on HBO.
There
perfect.
You go. There you go.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just a question of when and who's going to be in charge.
We're just going to be podcasting about Harry Potter till we're
in our 60s.
Till we need the Sorcerer's Stone.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Let us know your thoughts. Yeah, let us know your thoughts. Please send us an email. Thank you for enjoying this bonus episode of the Potterverse. We actually intended this episode to only be about 25 to 30 minutes. It's been 51 minutes.
There you go, Blake. My name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed.